Good afternoon, evening. I'm not even sure what to call this this time, but hello, everybody. So let's begin as usual with two questions, and you let me know which one you want to discuss. I'm not going to reveal which one I actually have a prepared answer for and which one I don't. Question number one: I received a text just the other day from a good friend of mine who is a Rav in Montreal, Canada, and I don't know if you're so familiar with what's going on in Canada, but it's an absolute disaster in terms of the vaccine rollout. My friend was Zocha. He was lucky enough to get a first dose of the vaccine based on some trial thing, and they made his appointment for the second dose in August. You know, it's an absolute disaster what's going on over there. So he wrote to me as follows: "We are back to an 8 o'clock curfew." You know, it's unbelievable. Just as everything is opening up here, you think the whole world is opening up. We're back to an 8 o'clock curfew, likely for 4 to 8 more weeks. Shkia at 7:44 and getting later. During the week, we're davening Mincha Maariv at Plag, which is about 6:10. Question is, Shabbos afternoon. He writes, "I see three bad options." This is again, Shabbos afternoon, not Friday night. Friday night's easy. You just do Plag. He said, "I see three bad options. Option one, we can daven at Plag. Advantages, we can daven Maariv with a minion. Disadvantages, it's super weird to daven Maariv and send everyone home 2 full hours before Shabbos was over. And halachically, while the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Tzadi Gimel explicitly matirs, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it at all. Option two, we daven Mincha only, send everyone home for Maariv at the right time. That feels right about holding in Shabbos until Maariv, but no minion for Maariv and not good for those saying Kaddish. Option three, do the Tarti Desasri and daven Maariv as late as we can to get home for curfew, which will still be before Shkia, which at least makes it that you walk home after Shkia rather than broad daylight. So at least it gives a feel of Shabbos being close to over when you're walking home." And he said, "This past Shabbos I did the Plag option. It was so strange. Wondering what you'd suggest. Would you let an Ovel lead Maariv if he's davening after Plag? Do we say Vihi Noam? Can one eat after Maariv before Shkia?" So these are the Shailas that they are still facing Nebuch in Montreal. Shaila number two. This one came from, I have to assume, England. And you'll see why I have to assume that way in a moment. "Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. I had the following Shaila. My mom has been observing the yard site for her father for the past 37 years. Every year, the shul sends her a notification several weeks before, reminding her of the upcoming yard site on the 9th of Iyar. Even without the shul reminder, as far back as she can remember, she has known the date to be the 9th of Iyar. The story is the same for her sister, who has followed suit. This year, she made her annual trip to the cemetery prior to the yard site, and noticed something that she had never noticed before. The date of the Patira written on the stone was different to the one she had always observed. It said the 10th of Iyar. Following some inquiries," with an E, not with an I, so another British spelling, "it is really unclear which is the correct date. There is the stone on the one hand, which offers strong evidence in that it is unlikely to have been set up with a mistake like that. Yet the shul, in her own practice," with an S-E instead of a C-E, another British spelling, "her own practice, as she believes, points to the day before. Following some inquiries, the time of death makes things even more unclear, with some people in the family suggesting it was one time, and other people another time, with both happening to fall either side of Shkia. There isn't a massive nafkamina la'alacha, given that there are no sons, but at least emotionally and for the purpose of some yardside customs, my mom and her sister are keen to find out the right date. I thought it would be an interesting question to explore and see what factors demonstrate the most evidence in the date to be observed. Kind regards." Okay, so the way we do this, for those who are new here, we vote on which Shaila to do in the chat section. So if you can vote, we'll take the majority vote. Maybe, or maybe not, depending on which one you vote for tonight. Okay, is that everyone? No, there are some people still haven't voted. Keep voting. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, it looks like Shiloh 1 wins the vote. Unfortunately, Shiloh 1 is not the one that I'm prepared to actually speak about tonight.
When Henry votes for something, I feel like we may have to go with that.
Oh, Henry voted for two. Me and Henry are in cahoots. The truth is, I didn't prepare either one, but I feel like I can answer two off the cuff more easily than I can answer one. You know what? Let's start with Shiloh one. It's what you voted for. Let's start with Shiloh one. The answer is, given the option, the answer of what to do was, I think, a davar pashut, meaning given the option, should you daven marv biyichidus, cost all the people who need to say Kaddish the opportunity to say Kaddish, cost the Tzibur the opportunity for Yehi Shmei Rabbas, particularly in a year where we lost so many Yehi Shmei Rabbas, we lost all those. I can't imagine that davening b'yichidus is the right thing to do. The option of doing a Tarti D'Sasri, that is such a significant b'di'eved that we know, Talmidim of Ar Yeshiva know, that Moreinu Rav Shechter Shlita says that it's, even though it is a machlokas haposkim, what's better to do, Rainer of Shechter Shlita holds very clearly much better to daven b'yichidus than to daven Tarti B'Sasri. That's why when he's in a community that makes the 7 o'clock Shabbos on Friday afternoon, which is throughout the summer, which has become so popular here on the East Coast. In fact, I got an email from a rabbi in Los Angeles last week saying that people in the community are pushing for that kind of minyan, 7 o'clock minyan, and they never did it. They never had such a minyan, but he heard that on the East Coast everyone does like that, and he can't believe that that's true, that on the East Coast everyone davens at a 7 o'clock minyan. He says it's not shaykh, how is it possible that everyone violates the halacha like that? So the truth is, it is true, right? It's a very, very common thing to have, and if you were to pick a time that is the absolute worst time to daven mincha, where you're going to make have the most shabbosos that you are davening Tarti D'Sasri, 7 o'clock would be the time. There's no more perfect time to get it perfectly wrong than 7 o'clock. Had you done 6:30, most shabbosos you'd be okay. Had you done, perhaps, or many of the shabbosos you'd be okay. Had you done 7:30, almost every Shabbos you'd be okay. At least with the Magen Avraham plug, you'd have something to rely on. 7 o'clock is the only time where you mamish have nothing to rely on for the majority of the summer. So we know Moreinu Rav Shechter, if he's a scholar in residence in such a community, will daven b'yichidus in such a situation. So that is certainly not the ideal. So it seems that it's pretty clear what the ideal is. That the ideal would be that you daven plag, meaning you do have the right to daven plag if you do so consistently. Now, should people daven plag all the time? It doesn't seem that's the appropriate thing to do to daven plag all the time. Unless you daven plag all the time, it doesn't seem appropriate to daven plag. Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to do one day like this and another day like that, so you're not supposed to switch back and forth. But over here, you have a community that's davening plag throughout the week, so it makes absolute sense to daven plag consistently and to be consistent about Shabbos as well. Now, the question is hasbara. How do you explain to people, look, you've davened Mariv, but nevertheless, even though you've davened Mariv, you're not allowed to do Malacha yet. Even though you've said Havdalah b'tfilah, which you're supposed to do, that you're not allowed to do Malacha yet. So I think that's why rabbis get paid the big bucks, to be able to explain such things. That to explain, and I think it makes a major statement also about the Tarti D'Sasri. Meaning, for example, I had a number of people in my shul approach me. Every year it happens, this year in particular, because with the aftermath of COVID, everyone sort of feels like, well, once we're coming back, anything goes, because hey, we're here, so at least that. So I was pushed by a number of people, why is our shul the only one that doesn't have a 7 o'clock minyan on Friday afternoon for Mincha Maariv? I said, no problem, we can have a 7 o'clock minyan, it will just start with Kabbalah Shabbos. Yeah, everyone will have Mincha B'Yechidus beforehand, you can have Mincha at 2 o'clock in the afternoon B'Yechidus, and we'll start 7 o'clock with, I have no problem doing that, but I'm not going to have a minyan davening a Tarti D'Sasri. So they said, what? Daven b'yichidus? What are you talking about? Like, why would we daven b'yichidus? I said, because that's halachically preferable. Yeah, but that doesn't feel right. Yeah, but we don't serve your feelings. We serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam holds that's halachically preferable. So I think it does help to make a statement. A lot of times people don't realize the value of Zmanim. They don't know that, like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once commented, I think in the name of Rav Huttner, Zichron Levracha, that Rav Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha, said that that in Nim Rav Huttner, that maybe if Yeshiva Bachram understood that missing Zman Kriya Shema is like shaking a lulav on Chanukah, maybe they'd be more careful about Zman Kriya Shema. I mean, you can't just decide to eat matzah and sukkahs and try to get the mitzvah that way. It doesn't work that way. There are specific times that you're supposed to do the mitzvah. You know, it is pretty clear in Shulchan Aruch. You know, the Gemara tells us that the first sugya in Shas, really, machlokas tanayim, what the earliest time to daven mariv and the latest possible time daven mincha is, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Shita is plaga mincha, and the Rabbanan hold that it's up until nightfall, however you define nightfall. Let's call it shkia. So the Gemara comes to the unusual conclusion that da'avid kemar avid, instead of paskening, just be consistent. Go in a certain, you can follow whichever shita you want. And the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Lamed Gimel Sif Aleph points out that unless you're faced with extenuating circumstances, if you live in a community where they always daven mincha before plag, you should be careful never to daven mincha after plag. Or if you live in a community where they always daven mincha after plag, you should be careful never to daven mariv before shkia. So the Mishnah Berura in Reish Lamed Gimel Sifkat Nir Aleph points out that even under a Shas Adchak, you should not daven mincha after plag and mariv before nightfall on the same day. Simply stated, while a person might, in a Shas Adchak, follow either the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan on any given day, you're not allowed to follow the opinion from one opinion from Mincha and the other opinion from Mariv on the same day. And that's why we're so machmir about this 7 o'clock Kabbalah Shabbos. Now the truth is, Mishnah Berura in Reish Samach Zayin Siv Katan Gimel is machmir. Well, he does say you should not do this, but he points out that there is a shita of Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa of the Nesivas. The Nesivos writes that if the tzibur has the minhag to pray at the most at this awful time, this in between time, you may daven with them. There doesn't seem to be much. The Mishnah Berura doesn't offer logic for that, why that would be the case, but that's what he quotes from the Nesivos. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that even the Rabbanan, who allow you to daven mincha up until nightfall, would allow you to daven mariv before nightfall. Because he says, you know, Tfilas Arvis is fundamentally different. Tfilas Arvis was meant to correspond to the to the burning of the different limbs of the karbanos, of the Evar Mubdarm, the limbs and the fats of the karbanos from the previous day. And that went on all night on the Mizbeach. So the burning of the limbs actually began before nightfall. So mariv also could begin before nightfall. The other svara that they quote is from Rav Yitzchak Petterberger in the pre-Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Petterberger, of course, lived in St. Petersburg, right? That's how he got the name, right? I think so, Rav Yitzchak Petterberger. I remember when Rav Shechter was going to Russia one summer, so every summer he takes a different, you know, he leads a different tour where he talks about the Gedolim of these different locations. I don't think he particularly, you know, loves traveling so much, but his wife does, and this is she's Moser Nefesh 51 weeks out of the year, accommodate his crazy schedule. So he's Moser Nefesh for that 1 or 2 weeks to go to these crazy places and talk. So one year they were going to St. Petersburg, they were going to Russia. So he was looking through all he reads all the Svarim written by all the Gedolim that lived in that location ever, and he talks about it all the time. So, and he talks about like all the Svarim and about, you know, when he's in their locations. So he realized that far north, Shabbos never really ends during the summer. Like, he's like, well, what do they do about the end of Shabbos? Meaning, as far as Tseis HaKochavim, they don't really ever have a Tseis HaKochavim. But he said, how could it be Rav Yitzchak Petterberger lived there? He must have done something. So he was looking into what exactly he was going to do as far as the end of Shabbos. I think Chatzos is what ultimately he did. But anyway, Rav Yitzchak Petterberger in the Sefer Pri Yitzchak suggests that there's really no set Zman when you have to daven Marv. The time for Marv is defined as the time that you're no longer allowed to daven Shachris or Mincha. So on a normal day, you could daven Mincha until Shkia, and therefore you're not allowed to daven Marv until after Shkia. But on Friday night, once you say Kabbalah Shabbos, it's too late to go back and daven Mincha. So you've made the time for Marv earlier by making Kabbalah Shabbos and closing off the earlier day. These are the kinds of svaras that the Poskim had to try to help, to try to to explain the this Tarti D'Sasri idea on Friday night. That doesn't help for Shabbos afternoon. Meaning, even if you rely on this for Friday night, you rely on the Svara of Rav Itzel Petterberger for Friday night, that's Dafka Friday night Svara. There's no Kabbalah Shabbos, and there's no Kabbalah Motzei Shabbos on Shabbos afternoon. So to daven a Tarti D'Sasri, I think on Shabbos afternoon should really not be done. I happen to have the opportunity just about an hour ago, I guess between, some of you were on the Temen Halacha, between the Temen Halacha and now, I did two things. I had a Zoom call that I was on, and I drove home. So you see a different background. So the Zoom call that I was on, I was lucky enough to be on the Zoom call with Rav Asher Weiss, and Rav Schechter, and Rav Willig, and Rav Gershon Bess, and Rav Yonah Reis. So, you know, these are like some serious Talmid Chachamim. But Rav Asher was running a little late. So everyone was waiting there. And Rav Asher was running late. So I said, oh my gosh, this is my chance. I'm giving a shiur tonight. Let me just ask. So that's the extent of my preparation, was me asking the question. So I asked the Rabbanim, I just threw it out there, I didn't see who would answer. I asked the Rabbanim what they would do in this situation. What they would advise the community in Montreal to do. And Rabbi Willig answered, and Rabbi Willig said, it's not theoretical. We had the same thing in Riverdale, because there was a curfew. There was a curfew, and in New York City, Rav Willig said, we went through all of COVID, and the mikveh wasn't closed for a single night in all of COVID. But de Blasio closed their mikveh, you know, because of the curfew, that managed to get the mikveh closed. He said, I heard in Borough Park they were having, you know, they spoke to the precinct, and the precinct said, we'll look the other way, and they negotiated, and whatever. So they were able to keep the mikveh open. We actually did that in Nassau County also on the night that we had a curfew. But Rabbi Willig said, I did not want to do that. I was not interested in doing that. So they had the mikveh open during the day. But he said, so that's what we did. We davened plag. I said, really? Even on Shabbos afternoon, you davened plag? He said, yes, that's the right thing to do. That's the correct choice, given the option. So you daven mincha before plag and marav after plag, given the option. So I said, okay, now can an avel daven? Can you have an avel daven for an amen? Normally, you don't have an avel daven. You don't have an avel leading the tefilos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So would you have an avel daven when the mariv on Motzoy Shabbos? So Rabbi Willig said, he said, now that's a shaila. You know, he said that's a worthy question. That's something to talk about. So what's the shaila? So the truth is, the whole idea of an avel, not of an avel, not davening for an amud, you know, during on Shabbos during the year of Avelos, it's really it's a minhag. It's not a halacha, right? The minhag is that an avel who lost a parent, davka lost, if they lost a parent, for 11 months, davens for an amud. The 12th month, there's some discussion whether he should continue to do so. He doesn't say Kaddish, doesn't say Kaddish Yasam in the 12th month, davening for an amud. The idea is that he'll have more opportunities to say Kaddish, because the guy that's leading the tefillah is the one that gets to say Kaddish. You know, obviously, the post can point out, there's a Tshuvas Divrei Malkiel that you shouldn't cause any machlokas about fighting for an amud. You know, that's certainly the case. And there are detailed halachos. What if you have more than one person that's a chiyuv? However, the Rama in Siman Shin Ayin Vav Si'iv Dal, the Rama writes, Avalo Nahagu Lispalo B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov. There is the minhag was never to daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Aval B'Shein Isser B'Davar. Even though there's nothing wrong, there's no Isser with davening on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Badei HaShulchan points out, because Midas Hadin Metucha La'avil Kol Yimei Aveluso, that there's Midas Hadin during the time of Avelus, and since Shabbos and Yom Tov are Yimei Simcha, you shouldn't be Ma'orer Dinim by being the Shliach for the whole Tzibur, so you can be Ma'orer Din on the whole Tzibur, because you're facing a Midas, the Avel is facing a Midas Hadin. Now that Midas Hadin is going to extend to the entire Tzibur. And that's why an Avel doesn't daven on Shabbos and Yantav for an Amud. Now, the minig is that someone who has a yard site during the upcoming week would daven Musaf on Shabbos before the yard site, but some say that while you're in Avelus, you shouldn't even daven for a yard site. And that includes the Shabbos even before the first yard site, where everybody's in Avelus, the Shabbos before the first yard site. But that's subject to a Machlokas HaPoskim. The Chuvas Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, who is the Gaivid, first the Rivid and then the Gaivid of the Eda Charedis, he advanced, he was handpicked by the Satmar Rebbe to be the Gaivid of the Eda Charedis, because the Satmar Rebbe was the Gaivid of the Eda Charedis. So they said the Satmar Rebbe had a stroke and he wasn't feeling well, and he was trying to find someone to become the Rivid of the Eda Charedis in the early 70s, and he was telling somebody, we have to get that person, you know, the one that writes the Gita Chivas, you know, the one that writes the good Chuvos. And they're like, who writes the Gita Chivas? You know, they didn't know who he was talking about. So they suggested a bunch of names, and they said, Dayan Weiss. He says, yeah, that's the one. That's the one we need to have as the Rivet of the Eda Charedis. So Dayan Weiss became the Rivet. So Dayan Weiss writes that if a person were not to daven on the Shabbos before his yard site, it would be Avelus Befarhesia. So you can't, you have to daven on the Shabbos before the yard site. In the Chuvas Betzalel Chachma, Rav Betzalel Stern, who was the older brother of the Debrezener Rav. Debrezener wrote the Chuvas Be'er Moshe. Rabbi Tzal Stern was Rav in Australia, and then Vienna, and then ultimately Eretz Yisrael. He was a Hungarian Holocaust survivor. I just gave a shiur in the Rav Moshe and his Halachic Adversaries series on the Debrezener, and it was remarkable. Debrezener and Rabbi Tzal Stern were two of five brothers in the same family before the war, and they were all known as Iluyim. They were all known as exceptional Talmidei Chachamim. The other three died. And the two that survived became authors of some of the most important Shuvah Svarim in the last 100 years. So just to get a sense of what was lost during the Holocaust, you wonder what those other three would have produced, that they were on that kind of level. Anyway, he writes that you can daven because you're not davening for the Avelus. You're davening because it's the Shabbos before the yard site. But if you think about it, if Midas Hadin Metucha, that's the whole idea. So it's about the person. The person has Midas Hadin Metucha. The Midas Hadin is still there. So Rav Shlomo Zalman in Alicha Shlomo, Perek Yud Ches, in footnote Chaf Gimel, quotes, says that he should not daven that week. And they quote from Rav Eliashiv that Chalila, that he should be over Lifnei Ateva, that he should lead the davening that week. So that's a major machlokas haposkim, whether you should or shouldn't when it's a Shabbos before a yard site and you're in your year of Velus. But bottom line is, the whole thing is a minhag not to daven in Shabbos and Yom Tov. But Rav Willig argued that if it's about this idea that there's a sense of Midas Hadin and that that's not appropriate for Shabbos, that on Shabbos you don't want to bring up Midas Hadin, so Rabbi Willig suggested it is still Shabbos, meaning maybe that will be the way they highlight that it's Shabbos. That look, the Avel, who's normally a Chiyuv, is not davening Maariv. Why? Because it's still Shabbos, and as Shabbos, he shouldn't be davening Maariv. So that's the that was the suggestion of what they should do. And Rabbi Willig said that's exactly what they did in his shul as well. I wasn't sure if I understood why it is. Maybe someone will help me out over here. Rabbi Freundlich asked, what about eating before Shkia after you finish davening Maariv? What would be the problem with eating before Shkia after davening Maariv? I'm not sure what the issue would be. Meaning, because you haven't said Avdala yet, you're not eligible to say Avdala yet. You say you're not supposed to eat. Certainly after Shkia, you shouldn't be eating. But I'm not sure if there would be any issue of eating before Shkia. I see there's a comment in the chat. Is the risk of being Mechal Shabbos a part of the equation? Right, so I should point out that a Rav knows his own community better than anybody else and what the concerns are in his own community. And as a result of that, if he were to assess that, you know, people are going to be Mechal Shabbos as a result of this, that would be absolutely terrible, right? Meaning that would take precedence over davening Betzibur, over davening the Minyan, and he would tell people to daven Maariv at home. I would still prefer that over the Tarti Desasri, because we do prefer davening B'yichidus over the Tarti Desasri, especially when it's not Friday night. I see that Henry put a link over here to the Wikipedia page for Rav Itzhak Paterberger, and he was the chief rabbi of St. Petersburg at a time when it was the capital of Russia. And it says he was a student of Yisrael Salanter, founder of the Muslim movement. He was at the age of 25. He was appointed chief rabbi of St. Petersburg. There was some story about that, of how he ended up there. No, I think he was really just visiting or something, and someone sent him a letter that he had to stay there because the reform was otherwise going to take hold, and he had to fight. There was something like that. There were the other candidate maybe was someone who was going to bring the community in the wrong direction. I don't remember the details. I'm sure I'm going to get emails telling me that I got it all wrong, but there's a story. I just don't know what the story is, but there's a story. You can make Havdalah early, that's true also, but not, we would save, meaning you Havdalah b'tfilah you make early, but you don't do Havdalah ala kos early, because you want to use Eish, and you wait till you could do Malacha to do that. They will bloom Rosh Chodesh Sunday. Do you say Yalav Yavo, or you miss it? So what's the halacha? That's got to be off in the Shulchan Aruch, right? I think we paskin that you do say Yalav Yavo. I mean, if you daven plag, so I think you do. But I have to look it up. It's got to be explicit in Shulchan Aruch. But I think you do say Yalav Yavo in such a case. Okay, so that's the shaila that that you guys voted for. The other shaila, I guess we'll just try to cover in a minute or two. The other shaila about the yard site. So I asked this once Rabbi Willig also when we were waiting for Rav Asher Weiss. By the way, the reason I was on the Zoom was it was not a good reason, but it was great. It's always good to talk to Gedolei Torah, even if it's under less than great circumstances. So the other shaila, I asked Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig said, "Get a death certificate. What's the big deal? Just get a death certificate." What did Henry just send? Maribel, oh, another thing about Rav. Oh, this story? What is it? Although reluctant to assume any leadership role, he was goaded into the position by his great mentor, Rav Yisrael Salanter. One time, the city hosted a convention of the leading rabbis of the generation. During the convention, the great rabbi of Brisk, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, posed a very difficult question, which was raised by his son, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. A great Torah debate broke out among the rabbis, who were all trying to answer the question, each one showing the depth and breadth of their abilities. At the end, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik gave two original answers, one his own and one from his son, Rav Chaim. During the entire debate, Rav Itzhak, the chief rabbi, just sat there quietly, not uttering a word. This made Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik wonder what kind of scholar Rav Itzhak really was. And how did he earn such a good reputation? Later, when Rav Soloveitchik happened to peruse the Sefer authored by Rav Itzhak, the pre-Yitzchak, he was astonished that the question posed and the two answers presented by Rav Soloveitchik were in fact not original, but had already been written and published by Rav Itzhak. Nevertheless, he made no mention of it at the debate and allowed everyone to present to think that he had nothing to do with the discussion. Such was the greatness and humility of Rav Itzhak. But it doesn't say like how he... why he was pressured in, right? Okay. Anyway, we're out of time already almost. So just very quickly with the other shayla. Stop posting links because I keep on having to click on them. I gotta focus here. So the other shayla about the day of the yard sale. So Rabbi Willig said, get a death certificate. Just look at the death certificate and you'll find out exactly when the yard sale is. So I said, oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that. So the person said they're trying to find a death certificate, but what if the death certificate says it was Ben Hashmashos? So what do you do if the death occurs during Ben Hashmashos? So that's a very common shaila. People die all the time during Ben Hashmashos. The Malach HaMavis comes, you don't have the right to say, wait, I keep Rabbeinu Tam. You don't get to do that. The Malach HaMavis comes, he doesn't wait for anybody. So the Shita of Rav Meisha and Rav Elyashiv is that you observe the yard site on the later of the two dates. The Geshra Chaim writes in Periklam Beis of Katan Yud Beis that if a person dies Ben Hashmashos, if there are no other Avelim, he should say Kaddish on both days, and if there are Avelim on both days, he should keep the yard site on the earlier day. But Rav Meishin Yardei Chel Gimel Sum Kuf Nuntes Oz Beis and Rav Elyashiv, quoted by the Sefer Tziyunei Halacha, page Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph, passed in that the yard site is on the later day. So considering that it's the sheet of the two Poskei Adar, Rav Meishin and Rav Elyashiv, I think that is probably the more common practice. When I asked this on the Zoom earlier, Rav Shechter said that he was under the impression that Rav Soloveitchik's family, because Rav Soloveitchik died during Bein HaShemashos, that his family observes both days of Yahrzeit. And then Rabbi Willick said that Rabbi Bleich has Yahrzeit during Adar and also is Bein HaShemashos. So he observes 4 days of Yahrzeit on leap years. So that's something. I don't know if he fasts on all those days, but that's what he said. Okay, so with that, we will conclude. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shabbos.